difficult circumstance could play out for a few months. I don't want to say it more. And then possibly something will smoother. We'll have to wait and see. This yes. week has been quite tough. I've been facilitating two very difficult conversations with at least 30, 40 people. It's been challenging.
Wow. Thank you, Vikram, for sharing those insights, because I personally didn't know that people were being laid off from the different units or units. I had no idea. And the fact that this is happening in Oroville is really disheartening. And also had a conversation with my friends earlier today that we're seeing, for example, Black Lives Matter that's taking on the world by a storm, right? And the reason why we're seeing the biggest racial-driven protest is because of social media. It's like there is a network and people can communicate better. But also it's to do with the frustration that we're seeing due to like the displacement of workers and like people being so unemployed and there's so much uncertainty. And that rage sometimes has to be like, there needs to be an outlet for that rage and frustration. And that also, personally, I believe, also led to the protests being much more fierce, right? So I think it's very important, like as Vikram already mentioned, to foresee these kind of situations that could potentially arise, potential conflicts, because if we can already tell, wow, there's going to be a lot of tension and maybe certain blaming, pointing fingers, we can already prepare better emotionally and socially to handle those kind of potential conflicts. And as the Chinese people say, prevention is the best cure. So I think it's like, I really, really agree with what you said, Vikram. Thank you so much for sharing that. Getting to the topic, what also Vikram mentioned about funds running out. Paulette, you also mentioned in your report, I read certain statements that FAMC and the working committee released, that it seems Oroville currently does not have sufficient funds to provide maintenance or to fund city services for the rest of the year even. So when I was conducting research on Oroville's economy last year, the most common remark that I received was that Oroville's economy has been for a long time unsustainable and is still very unsustainable. I try to adopt this healthy habit. When I give, so to speak, a negative feedback, I'd like to accompany it with a solution. I would really like to suggest that for a lot of the Orovillians that I talk to, I'm like, oh, it's good that you're thinking about this, but please also put equal effort to understanding how we can come up with solutions, because it's easy to criticize. It's easy to say this and that is wrong in Oroville. So I would like to ask you, Paulette, what are some areas for improvement that you can currently identify in Oroville's economy?
So every time you ask me, the answer is always the same. Applying Mather's economic setup.
Yeah.
So first of all, of course there is problem with the maintenances, but there was problem even before. Because there is an admission form to be signed by the mother where you don't get any maintenance unless really you have nothing. She even asked Sam Schulder, who was the person in charge, to test the people a few months before giving the maintenance. And then the maintenance was not money. Money was just a very little pocket money. Otherwise, everything was in kind. And it was the same thing as the ashram. In fact, it was called the Hour of Prosperity because it was the same thing from the ashram. And I already forwarded. You see what they were getting, chapels, mattress, bedsheet, t-shirt, you know, and calculating the months and so on. Aurovi started like this. There was no money. There was no need of money. So this will happen immediately because there have always been people who get the maintenance without needing at all, first. They get even more than one maintenance. Then the maintenance are not the same. I can tell you my case, I have only half maintenance, apart from the fact for 20 years I supported myself and my daughter without ever asking anything. I was not even going to the free store. Then I live with half maintenance. I have no servants because the mother didn't want a servant. I have only a cycle because the mother didn't want a polluting transport. I even pay, very often it's Daniele who pays for my exhibition, but if Daniele doesn't pay, I with the half maintenance, I manage to pay for my exhibition because I do all the work myself. I don't ask anything. So if people were living like me, there would be no problem at all, first. Second, we would get the right people. Because now, forget the COVID, it has always been like this. Not, first of all, the mother didn't want it to, people had not to pay any newcomer fee. They had to support themselves the first year. If they could not support themselves, but they were working, they were taken in charge immediately, given a place, given clothes, given food, everything. So you understand why that our will was so different. So we have to go back, and as we have not been able to do, I've been fighting 36 years, producing books, documents, cyclostyle, forwarding together with the news, nothing happened. Now we get to COVID-19. We will have to do. But the problem is we will be able to manage our will, but the problem is the one that Vikram mentioned. Yeah. What about the workers in the village?
Believe or agree with the fact that there is not sufficient funds in Oroville. It's not factual.
I think the only, the major issue I see in terms of anything to do with lack of funds or abundance of funds is the lack of transparency. So I don't think there's a full transparency in the community regarding if there are these clusters of like public funds that are scattered and not centralized. I think that is the first like step in the right direction, right? To provide like a really transparency to the community members to see like where the finances are being, how the finances are being managed and pooled. I feel reluctant to comment on this because I do not know what information is true or not, because obviously these sentiments are shared all the time. And I genuinely don't know as an Oroville youth what is what to believe or who to believe, right? So that already is an issue in itself, I believe. Paulette, getting back to also what you said about just how we could improve the economy, the way I understood what you shared was, it's not necessarily we have to go with these systematic or economic reforms, but more so like a social, like a shift in our social consciousness to really embody the citizen that, the citizenship that is required to be a part of the society that the mother envisioned, which is a person who does not have like help in the house, which is a person who cycles instead of driving a motorbike, which is a person who like tries to do the work himself or herself before like asking anyone else for work. And I personally think that's definitely the way to go. So I really like genuinely take your advice to heart, and please know that I'm trying to embody it in my daily life. So at least there's one person, or I think everyone in this chat for that matter is taking on that advice. B, I would like you to just comment and elaborate on a little bit of what Paulette said about the prosperity scheme, because I think a lot of our audience members is not familiar with that. Could you just elaborate on that, how it was and how it worked?
Well, this is a big topic. I mean, the prosperity thing, she referred to it as what came from the ashram, where all your needs were taken care of.
Yes.
So that transferred to Oroville to a certain extent. And in the early years, for example, we lived in the Matrimandir workers' camp, so the housing was there. We had what we called center kitchen, which was nearby. All the food was there. Also, we could request for certain clothing items, or if you wanted some soap or toothpaste or something like that, you could get these things. And we did get a small stipend of what she called pocket money, like 100 rupees a month or something. So that was the cash in kind. And then people, of course, no one was required, as they were required in the ashram, to give everything. When you went to the ashram, you had to give what you had. You had to give your money. In Oroville, that never, everybody held on to their private fortune, big or small, and distributed it as they felt and shared it as they felt. So we get into these questions that Vikram brought up about centralization, decentralization. And, you know, there could be like an FAMC that would say, you know, okay, this unit's making so much money, we want all of this. There are a lot of these pressures that are playing out, and people don't trust. They don't trust each other, because also the governing bodies in Oroville have been dysfunctional and not really responsible. So we have what I call them the pirates, who do the work. You have people like Michael Bonke, who come in with their own fortune and do work in Oroville, finish Mata Mandir, you know, provide electricity and different things. And there are a lot of people in various categories of being pirates. And these are, individual, some with anarchic ideas, some with spiritual ideas, all sorts of things. So we have this incredible meshing together of these energies. And to make a harmony of that and to make a transparency of that is very difficult. One individual can't get a grip on that. So we have these groupings that are happening in Oroville, and it's an ongoing dynamic. And as long as people are honest and truthful and have basic decency and common sense, we can function and we do fine. I mean, okay. Vikram has to deal with some of the worst situations that happen in Oroville because he's involved with security and these things and mediation and all of that. So he knows much more than I know. But yeah. Still, we have to take responsibility for all that and live with it and not be afraid of it. We put it on the table. It's been hidden. But now with these situations coming up, it won't be hidden. And that's part of the Paulette is called the Kali effect, where you have this things move because there is a strong force that's ripping it apart.
Yeah. Paulette, what is your personal response to what, to B's remark that the lack of trust is what's going to hinder the community from, let's say, reverting back to a prosperity scheme, where you have a lot of in-kind provision and back to the basic needs? So do you also identify the lack of trust as the major issue?
Lack of trust is one issue, but the major issue is the lack of consciousness, is the lack of solidarity, the lack of humanness. So the way I see, either we are able to realign spontaneously by a miracle of consciousness around the Mother guidelines, or something terrible will happen like World War II, where it was so terrible that really the difference of classes was blown up. I was brought up in the most aristocratic school of Milano, and who is the wealthiest town of Italy. I tell you, we were collecting money twice a year. We were having fairs, giving treasure for our wealthy house to collect money to feed. So we had every day the beggars were coming and eating from us, and we were giving them food and giving them clothes. After a few years, of course, so this was gone. But you need to go to something so terrible that really everything is blown up. Then you forget that you are wealthy, that you are noble. You don't care because you cannot just stand to see the despair. By the way, now you will see in the next report, looking online, there is a video from the Oroville Art Service, a video interviewing the villagers.
Oh, I've seen it, Paulette. I saw it yesterday, actually. Yeah.
So this is what I mean. If you are a human being, you cannot remain indifferent seeing something like this. It doesn't matter. You can be a billionaire, but when you see this, you take away your shirt and you give. This is what I mean. And this is what the lockdown is doing.
Yes. I'm going to make sure, Paulette, to link that video when we release this episode, because I don't know how I stumbled on this, but it was released by the outreach media the Oroville outreach media, and it was touching upon the impact of COVID-19 on this bioregion. So there were a lot of locals who were interviewed, and it was Paulette said, truly heartbreaking. So if you watch that as a person who isn't a neighbor, because Oroville is a direct neighbor to the bioregion, and we don't do something, I think it also just, it reflects very poorly on us, and where is the human unity in that? So thank you for sharing that, Paulette. One thing, I have a small, I'm going to play messenger now and transmit a short message from a youth that I talked to on the last Aura Talks I recorded a couple of days ago. So to the pioneering generation, we call the older the oldest, let's say, Auravillian generation, like the pioneering generation amongst the youth at least anyways. And what he said was, he feels that there is, in general, a lot of pressure exerted on the Orville youth in terms of you know the most about the community, you grew up here, you've received a lot, so give back, right? It's not so vocalized, but still you feel it, like it's this invisible force that's, you know, pushing you or nudging you forward. But he also wanted to just say that right now he feels that a lot of the pioneers is still caught up in building the community, doing all of these physical, tangible things like planting or doing that. Whereas for him, especially coming up in the younger generation, he sees a lot of invisible things that can be done. And invisible things related to, let's say, economy, or invisible things related to, let's say, digitalization, because that's not necessarily something that you can touch and feel. So what is your response, like B and Paulette, to that remark? That the pioneers maybe have that tendency to really stick to their original ways, which was because you had to really build the community from scratch, from a barren piece of land to the prosperous jungle that it is today. So I would love to hear your comments on this.
Well, I can start because I'm still planting trees, and I think it's really, really important.
Yes.
And taking care of trees, it's absolutely necessary. And also building things. And today at the Eco Service, we built a wall. I mean, yesterday we built a wall. Today we were, I was drilling in the wall to put up shelves. So this kind of physical involvement, I think is absolutely necessary, because we have a city to build. So I don't see a contradiction. I mean, still the digitalization, the philosophy, the talking goes on forever. I was very happy that many meetings that I used to go to, you know, of course, were all canceled. So then I could do much more in the garden work and in other actual physical things. So I would never make a distinction between the two things. We have to do all of it.
All of it in parallel.
Yeah, all of it. Parallel, absolutely. And not only the young people, but the old people and the middle-aged people, and everybody working together according to capacity. I mean, some people have great capacities in certain other areas, but everybody needs to do some physical work. I mean, the mother was very clear about that. The work has to go into the matter, and you have to sweep your own floor. You have to sweep your own floor and wash your own dishes. If you don't do that, you don't connect to matter. You live in your bubble.
Yes. I think the comment that he was, the thought that he wanted to share was not necessarily that we shouldn't plant trees or build physical infrastructure, but to also receive some sort of an acknowledgement, or maybe some level of appreciation would be nice too, from the pioneering generation, that there are so many different ways to give back to the community. Because obviously when you see an Orville youth, like let's say in one of the forests planting, it's visible, it's so visible, right? But we have a lot of talented youth coming back after years of training and after years of education abroad, and they come back and they try to contribute in many different ways, which is not necessarily so visible to the eye, right? Because it's not really manifestation into the physical realm. It could be also manifestation in the digital realm, which is a virtual reality, for example. So I think that really resonated with me, because of course, it's easy to praise what you can directly see, right? But when there are a lot of different works going on in terms of, for example, I think what Aditi is doing is really great. She's doing a lot of presentations on water management. And it's not necessarily something that she can do, like she can't go build the water pipes, for example, I think. But she can really talk about the essential management.
She doesn't have to.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to. And I think the appreciation from let's call it the older generation, or the new people coming, is fantastic. I would hope that they feel welcomed, when they come back, and that they feel that their contribution at any level, they don't have to go out and plant the trees or, make the mud blocks. That's all right. There are people who will do that, but they can do that also if they want. I mean, we don't want to make any rigid things here. Yes. And see, but I have to make one comment about this feeling appreciated. In Oroville, whatever you do, usually no one appreciates it. You don't get appreciation. If you want appreciation, you'd never come to Oroville, because usually you get criticism. I mean, the people don't go around appreciating, and that's a failing of the community. But it's coming in. People are starting to appreciate a little more, and people are thanking people and things like that. But you know, that was not in sort of the Oroville culture, because you're not supposed to be attached to what you do. You don't do it for appreciation. You do it because it's the thing to do and the right thing. Okay. And to somehow not be looking for that. Okay, yeah, you know, B is so great because he did this or that.
Yeah.
No.
I agree, B. This is something I learned so much through the Aura project, to be honest. So I still was, the human default setting is when you do something good, something altruistic, something for the collective prosperity, you want to get the recognition, even just a little thank you, right? But instead, when I was in Oroville last year, I went to a couple of schools, and some of the response that I got even from the teachers that taught me was, let's say, on the more negative side, you know, instead of being like, oh, look at Dambi, she's coming up with quite a creative idea. And instead of hearing me out fully without any bias, I was getting things like, we've tried this before, and it's not going to work. Like, I've heard the statement in one presentation I did, it's not going to work, 5 times back to back. And there was somebody actually cut me off while I was presenting. So I was like, well, why am I doing this? Like, I'm trying to do something good for the community, but instead all I'm receiving is backlash and saying you're doing everything wrong. So this is something that the Red Project has truly taught me, and also working with you, B, has really made me realize. I have to first and foremost question, like, who am I doing this for? Or why am I doing this, right? I'm not doing this because I want a little, email from Paulette saying, Dambi, you're great. Thank you so much for being a part of the community. I'm not doing it for that kind of praise, right? I'm doing it because I really hope that in this one lifetime that I'm given, I can really contribute to creating a better world for the next generations to come.
Tell you how grateful I am to the people who came in the beginning today. Take it from me. They gave their lives, money, so fought their battles, invested blood, sweat. I fight with them every day, disagree with them on 100 issues, but I never lose respect of the fact that these people devoted their entire lives to this. Yes. Where you and me are standing, that land, that building, that tree has been hand planted, bought through tough circumstances. In our generation, we are wondering where we can go to study, which holiday to go back, which discussion to enter. We have not bought land and given to Oroville. We are not in conversations like that. We are not doing those things. We are basically doing management now. Yeah. Whatever has been acquired, we are trying our best to improve it and get better. So take the message back also to your age group that appreciation is a two-way street. Hopefully, don't expect it. Do your work sincerely for the purpose you are here. But if you are expecting some appreciation, also learn to give something back to that generation. I disagree with Paulette on issues or with B on issues, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for them. I can't even imagine what all they have had to go through to bring us to where we are here.
Yes, I'm on the same page, Vikram. I think when there is a foundation, such a solid foundation of gratitude, whatever differences you have in opinion or perspective, because that's also healthy, a level of that has to be exist, right, for progress and a discussion to happen. I agree. I will definitely take that that message. I'm like playing messenger. So I brought one message to this group chat, and now I'll take it back to the other group chat. So I guess I'll play the messenger. Paulette, do you have any personal hopes for the Oroville youth? Or do you just feel like they should just let their let the bird flutter its wings? Or do you have any hopes, for example, for what the Oroville youth can how the Oroville youth can contribute to the community? Because I've never personally asked you that myself.
I think for the Oroville youth is much more difficult than for the youth outside. And That's why I didn't wanted my daughter to be reared here, and she's in Canada. And she's totally different from me. She doesn't have this approach to yoga, spirituality, but she has a civic consciousness. She's a social worker.
Yeah.
And this is the major things that is missing in our world. While it was fantastic, and I really have to thank the lockdown, suddenly seeing all these people, even now I don't know their name, people I never seen before, from one day to the other, transform into social workers. It was magnificent. And young people. So it's not that the people don't have these things. They never had a chance to manifest it, to be educated, to grow it. So it's really wonderful what happened. And then there is another thing. First of all, I was myself humbled by the pioneers because I joined only in 1985. At the ashram, when I was coming, working at Matri Mandir, going back to the ashram, I was very embarrassed because I never went through the material hardship they went through. It's something unique. Yeah. And now, eventually, it might happen. I hope not, but it might happen again. And then you will see that the youth, because the youth is the age of idealism. I feel very sad seeing how the youth is managing here, because it's the education which is not there. But if something happens, as it is happening now, it's like a plant that you never water, then the plant wither and die. But you think the plant is dead, and then you start giving water, and then it blossoms. And this is exactly what is happening. And there is one person that you have to interview next, is Pashi Kapoor.
Oh, I love Pashi. Yes, I've talked to him before. He's an old timer.
He's an old timer. He's an engineer, by the way, and even helping Roger. You know, Roger was building 5 industrial towns in India to raise the money for Auroville, and Pashi was the one supervising those towns. But he has also a link with the youth, with the youth link. You know, it's and they presented prosperity. They even had an event with T-shirt with Auroville prosperity and so on. This is the future. And then you have to ask Pashi, because I am the philosopher, but Pashi is the engineer. He has ideas how to work out the Auroville economy. You have to ask him.
I'll make sure to reach out to him for that. Thank you for that nudge. I'll definitely reach out to him. And episode hopefully 12 will be with Pashi.
Yes.
The last point of discussion to conclude this wonderful talk is asking each and every one of you, do you feel that you personally and also the people that you're surrounded by are mentally and emotionally preparing for a potential second wave? Or even Orville, let's say, in terms of like organizational groups and bodies, are they systematically preparing for a potential second wave?
Should I go? B or
yes, go? Vikram, please go.
Yeah, sorry. I'm helping the COVID task force with food supplies and making sure things are there in case if there is like a big lockdown situation. We're calling it stage 4, stage 5, basically.
Yeah.
Like B says, there is an amount of food that comes from Pondi. If Pondi has been sealed off yesterday, it means that the vehicles will not come from Pondi to Chennai, whether it's food or medical or whatever, fearing cross-contamination, basically. So yeah. For that, we had already planned to have essential food supplies reach. I'm sure farms will also pull in whatever is there. And then we'll have to see how to manage with all these things. And I think, what was the question? I suddenly lost thread.
So just in terms of No, you were answering the right question, Vikram. The question was if people, if you personally and also the people you're surrounded by are mentally and emotionally preparing or expecting a potential second.
Yes. So we are mentally preparing. Emotion, I can't answer. I mean, I feel quite relaxed and balanced. I'm not so competent with emotions like that.
Yes.
You'll have to ask other people. Me personally, I'm very balanced and handling one moment at a time.
That's great to hear, Vikram. How about you, B? What are your thoughts on this?
No, I feel really ready because I have expected things like this to happen for a long time. And I have planted all around my house the perennial chia spinach tree. So never will starvation be a problem. But I mean, jokes aside, I think people are ready for what's going to happen. And you know, when you have this kind of a yoga, you know, we talk about death. I mean, what can happen?
Mm.
You can die. That's not a disaster.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
So
correct.
Where are we? You know, there's nothing to fear. And I think the energies that are happening around in the community can all be directed toward, let's say, the solidarity, the love, the trust, all the things we've been talking about. And it will bring it out. It will force it out.
Yes.
So it's we open to the grace of what's coming.
Mm.
I call it the sunlit path. You can call it whatever you want.
One of my favorite books from the mother is Sunlit Path. I think it's a compilation. I've read it, I think, 3 times in this year alone because it's like a pretty short book. But I think it's also symbolic that it's like you're calling it the Sunlit Path, B. How about you, Paulette? Do you share the same views as B, that this is, again, like you said, it's a divine intervention and it's an act of grace and that people are prepared for what's to come? Whether it be like systematically from the community or just people in terms of consciousness and awareness, what's to come now?
Not only I agree, but there is even something more. Sri Aurobindo, when he talks about the advent of the supermind, one possibility is destruction. And as there is this change, even physically, but anyhow, the change depends on consciousness. The people who are not able to, at least to begin this change, will be automatically eliminated. So I immediately, by the way, when COVID started really striking, it was something amazing because I had put up at the town hall that exhibition on Milano futuristic architecture, which was looking at that to me was like seeing the town beat by the supermind. And then I was reading every day the news. By the way, in Italy started on February 21st, which is the mother's birthday. So it was like a kick in the stomach every time. So I could see this absolutely spectacular architecture, which of course is built by the multinational, by the banks, by the insurances, because only they have the money to do this. And at the same time, everything collapsing. So now you know that, by the way, this fantastic skyscraper, all the things I was exhibiting, now they're empty. Now that they're even moving out from the town, from New York, from London. So you understand, just like this, simply with an epidemic, a war could not do this. With a war, they would have rebuilt the same thing, but not the same thing with the epidemic. So, and in my case, I was even prepared because I was in the belly of my mother when the war was starting. My mother was fed by the partisans. There was nothing to eat. They were carrying back bag of beans, and she was grateful because at least she would eat beans. So when I see these people complaining, I find even ridiculous because they have no idea what it is really to go through to kind of tragedies like this. So to me, it's just the way people react. just depends on their consciousness.
Yes. It's time for an elevated consciousness. Personally, for me, this entire conversation has been so fruitful. I always like to conclude each episode by expressing my gratitude. So thank you, Paulette, for all the efforts that, for your efforts to produce these reports, because I'm reading them, and Professor Zhou and Dr. Che and everyone at Science Walden, they really appreciate your work because they're able to understand what's going on in the community, even in thousands of miles away in Korea. And thank you for also all the wonderful books you've written about Orville. And B, of course, Zero Waste, B, the biggest ambassador for waste as value. And thank you for also the work that you do at International Zone. And Vikram, thank you. I didn't know that you did so many, you facilitated such difficult conversations. And thank you for also like just trying to prevent conflict from happening and trying to make sure both sides feel heard and understood. And also for your input at the COVID-19 task force. And overall, thank you for this conversation, each and every one of you, because I love what Paulette mentioned earlier. She said that we had this very parched piece of plant, like, and I'm the plant, I'm talking about myself now, nobody else. I don't know, maybe other plants were really like green and doing well. But me personally, I had a rough couple of years because I was working a lot. And I think I was like constantly like on like sprint mode, always going after like, whether it be my studies or trying to pursue like a professional career, I always kept on running. And when you run without hydration, obviously you get parched and you get dehydrated. So for me, this lockdown period has been, has given me the space, the water, and like call it the act of grace. So I really love the symbol, the symbolism of that, because I think not only for me, but for a lot of community members, we were, so to speak, parched. We needed some water, we needed some hydration. And that's, I think, a really beautiful way to look at the COVID-19 period and just the impact that it has had on all of us. So thank you for that, Paulette. Thank you, B and Vikram, for this wonderful conversation. So we conclude each episode by saying ciao for now.
Thank you for pulling it all together. We were here without you.
To coordinate the three of us is not easy. We three are engaged in so many things. Well done, Danbe. Congrats. Thanks for pulling us together.
It must be noted, this is our second attempt, right? We tried yesterday, but due to technical reasons, we didn't. But we stuck on. Like, we honestly persevered, and we're here today. So
I should say that I'm blessed doing the kind of work I do. I always been blessed, and I'm blessed even now. The one who is not blessed at all is Vikram. So I'm really grateful that he's able to do this kind of work.
Yes, Vikram, thank you. So I try to always sign off by counting down in a different language. So let's do Korean, because I haven't done Korean yet. So I do 1, 2, 3 in Korean, and we say ciao for now, and we'll conclude this wonderful episode. So 1, 2, 3, ciao for now.
Aura, the value we create together.